Merry Christmas, family. We good? Yeah, good to see everybody. How many of you are exhausted from the Christmas season, man? Just totally exhausted. Tonight's like therapy for us all, right? To recenter, remember why we're even here and what we're doing with this whole Christmas thing. Thank you, brother. I do want to say this. This is a family-style service, and it's sort of different for us, right? I mean, Brian talked about earlier how typically on Sundays you've got kids' ministry going on in the nursery, and you're in here with your littles, and you got your babies. And listen, some of you are a little stressed out right now because you're like, man, I got my baby, and what if my baby cries? And listen, we understand that babies make noise and babies cry. We totally get it. And it's like the old saying says, if a baby ain't crying, the church is dying, right? So we love the fact that tonight babies are crying and it's a sign of life. And so if anybody in this room tonight gives you a dirty look because your baby's crying, maybe just look at them and say, hey, I want to remind you that tonight we're celebrating the fact that God became a baby. And so maybe you ought to get over it, okay? So I say all that to say the pressure's off, man. I do guarantee you that tonight I'm not going as long as usual. Because you got your littles here, right? So I'm only going about half the time as normal, which unfortunately here in Emmaus means an hour and a half. So, but let's go. I want to share with you a verse that's been that's really been rocking me for the past couple of weeks that I love, that I think really just sort of explains what Christmas is all about. And before I do that, just sort of to give some perspective, this past Saturday morning, I was at my house and I'm sitting in the living room. I'm sipping a cup of French roast coffee, delicious. And I'm just honestly, I was mindlessly staring at our Christmas tree because I'm just exhausted. And I was contemplating how grateful I was for a morning of peace, a morning where I didn't have something to do or some kind of agenda or something to produce. And I was just really, really happy about the fact that I had this moment of silence and peace. And then at that moment, my youngest daughter, Madeline, walks in the room and she looks at me. She said this. She said, hey, Dad, if I ask you a question, you promise you won't get mad? How many of you parents have teenagers that have asked you this question before, right? Like, what am I supposed to do with that? I don't know how to answer that question, right? Like, because here's the thing. Like, if I don't promise to not get mad, she may not ask me the question. But if I do promise to not get mad before she asks me the question, it might be the most foolish promise I've ever made, right? Because what if I promise I won't get mad and then she says something, okay, great. Well, hypothetically, if your 14-year-old daughter borrowed your car last night and forgot where she parked it, what would you do, right? She could say I don't know what she's going to say. So I'm like, what do you mean? What, do I promise I won't get mad? And so eventually I was like, I'm going to compromise with her. I'll compromise. So I looked at my daughter. I said, well, here's the thing. I promise I won't get mad as long as it has nothing to do with my credit card or with our personal safety or with some law being broken. And she said, okay, Dad, okay. She said, here's the question. She said, will you please take me to the mall today? Because I need to get Mom a Christmas gift. And I want to emphasize for you again, it's the Saturday before Christmas. How many of y'all in here have ever been to the Mall of Georgia on the Saturday before Christmas? Let me see your hands. Raise your hands. And I want you to notice there's not a lot of hands raised in here. You know why? It's because most people who go to the Mall of Georgia the Saturday before Christmas don't survive the experience, right? They spontaneously combust. We never hear from them again. So it's very dank. Nobody wants to go to the mall the Saturday before Christmas. And I'm looking at her going, what, really? But here's the problem. She's asking me this while looking at me with those sweet daughter eyes. You know what I'm saying? And I can't say no to those sweet daughter eyes. And so I'm like, okay, whatever. So I go and I grab my coat and I grab my car keys and I grab a bottle of Tums and I out the door and we head to the Mall of Georgia on the Saturday before Christmas. Here's what's weird. I thought it was going to be terrible. I thought it was going to be awful. Turns out it was even more terrible than I thought it was going to be. Right? It exceeded all of my expectations because we get to the Mall of Georgia and first of all, there's no parking. There's nowhere to park. There's nowhere to park there. It's a joke, right? And so all the spaces are taken, which means there's cars that are just in the parking lot and they're just circling and circling and circling and circling like buzzards over a carcass. And then eventually we found the spot But the problem was the spot that we found was like three zip codes away from the entrance to the mall, right? So then we have to get out of the car and we have to walk, you know, halfway the distance of the Appalachian Trail just to get to the mall. And then we walk in the mall. Oh, what is going on? I mean, we walk in the mall and everywhere you look, there's feral children lighting things on fire and just, I don't know where their parents, it's like Lord of the Flies at that mall, man. And I'm smelling in the air, and the air, I don't know if you notice this, but the air in the mall has this strange mixture. It smells like Cinnabon mixed with desperation, right? Because everybody's stressed out and trying to get their last minute Christmas shopping done, and they're all freaking out, and everybody's in a bad mood, right? We finally get to the store where my daughter wanted to go to, and there's an angry lady screaming at a manager, yelling something about 75% off, and she's just losing her mind. And then I'm very tense at this moment, and then we finally find what my daughter wanted to buy, my wife, but then we get in the checkout line, and the checkout line is like from here to the pearly gates, and so it's like we're standing in line forever, like a ride at Disney, and then finally, when we buy this thing, we leave, and we're trying to maneuver our way through the main corridor of the mall, and at some point as we're walking, some teenagers begin to yell at me. Turns out I walked through the middle of their TikTok dance challenge or something in the mall, and so I was like, what is this chaos, man? Right? The entire experience, it was like a scene out of a post-apocalyptic movie. And so I'm frustrated. And at some point while we're walking, all this stuff's happening, I look at my daughter and I said to her, why in the world did I agree to do this? And that's when my daughter looked at me with a smile and she said, because you love me. Here's why I tell you that story. Listen, how many of y'all in here have ever noticed that when you love someone, you are willing to do some very sacrificial things for them? Amen. Amen? Isn't that what love does? Isn't that what love drives us to do? When you really love somebody, like when you truly love somebody, you're willing to do some incredibly sacrificial things for those people. And incidentally, that is exactly what Christmas is all about. That's the point. And I want you to get this tonight, family. I want you to understand this in the midst of all the chaos and all the crazy. I want you to understand this is the point of Christmas. We are here tonight at Emmaus Church on this Christmas Eve celebrating the reality that at a real point in human history, God so loved the world so much, and God so loved you so much, and God so loved me so much. He loved us so much that God did the most sacrificial thing imaginable. That's what Christmas is all about. And personally, man, I love the way the Apostle Paul puts it in the book of Galatians. There's this moment in Galatians chapter 4, around verses 4 and 5, where Paul, to me, just in a few words, really in a nutshell, summarizes what Christmas is all about and why everybody who loves Jesus, follow Jesus, and is really excited about Jesus should love celebrating Christmas for what it represents. I love what Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. I'll read this real quick. Paul says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." Now, just to be clear, that's the point of Christmas. Like in a nutshell, real briefly, that is the point. Like that is the reason we're here. That's the reason we're celebrating tonight. It is because there was a moment in time when God, in his grace and his mercy, in his incredible generosity, sent to us his one and only Son, because sin had separated us from God and we desperately needed a Savior. And so God sent us the Savior, because the only way any of us could be right with a holy God is if somehow God himself made an atonement for our sins. And God was willing to make an atonement for our sins because of his love. And so he sent us Jesus. And that is the point of Christmas. That's the point of Christmas. The point of Christmas is Jesus Christ. Listen, here's the deal. Let's just be honest. I think most of us would agree Christmas trees are wonderful. I mean, my wife's Christmas breakfast casserole is my favorite. Peppermint mochas are delightful. White elephant gifts are great. Listen, those things aren't bad in and of themselves. Those things aren't evil or bad. All I'm saying is none of those things is the main thing. The stress and the angst you feel around Christmas ain't the main thing. The fact that some of you around Christmas always, what you ultimately feel is that you don't measure up, right? Because you didn't buy enough and you didn't give enough and you didn't receive enough and there wasn't enough. Let me tell you something. The point of Christmas is not any of that stuff. The point of Christmas is that Jesus Christ is more than enough. That there was a real point in history where God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to us. Just to be clear, listen, you have to understand that God, our God, who is holy, who is just, who is righteous, who is omnipotent, right, all powerful, God did not send his only son, Jesus Christ, into this world simply so that you tomorrow morning could get a gift certificate from Lulu. Like, you need to understand that was not the primary purpose of the mission, man. The cosmic reality is this, beloved. God sent his only son into this dark world so that you, a sinner who deserved hell forever because of your sin, could be forgiven of all your sins and adopted into the family of God. Amen. You kidding me? This amazing reality. And real quickly, I want you to notice a couple of things that Paul tells us here. First of all, man, notice that Paul tells us right here, he says that Jesus was born when the fullness of time had come. Did you catch that phrase? When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, Jesus, born of a woman. When the fullness of time had come. Now, here's what you gotta understand. In other words, what Paul is saying to us is this. Jesus didn't come too early. Jesus didn't come too late. Jesus Christ came into this world at just the right time, the way that God had ordained it. And that's actually really good news for you, and it's really good news for me, family, because what it means is our God is actually sovereign. Our God is fully in control of everything. He sits on a throne. He rules and reigns over human history. Nothing catches him by surprise, and nothing ever catches him off guard. And that's really good news for all of us because some of y'all, man, it was everything you could do to like bring yourself in here today. Because of the pain or the chaos or the family junk, the relational rifts, whatever that's happening in your life right now, it was everything you could do to drag yourself to this service because life feels incredibly chaotic. But you need to understand the fact that when the fullness of time had come, God sent Jesus, the fact that God is in control is really good news for you because what it reminds us of is this. No matter what's happening in your life tonight, no matter how crazy your life may seem, you need to understand God is still in full control. And you can always trust his timing, and he knows what he's doing. And Christmas is actually a reminder to all of us of the fact that we worship a God who isn't just watching history happen, he's in charge of it. Do you really believe you can trust God's timing? You can trust what God's up to in your life? Christmas is a reminder of this. Additionally, number two, notice that Paul tells us that when, I love this, man. He says that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son born of a woman. It's very important. When the fullness of time had come, what did God do? God sent forth his son born of a woman. This is so important. This is so important because what it means, family, is this. In other words, the birth of Jesus Christ proves to all of us that, guess what? Our God is a promise keeper. Yeah. Let me say that again. Our God is a promise keeper. How many of y'all in here think it's really good news that God keeps his promises? Yeah. Amen. How many of y'all in here know that we live in a world where a lot of people don't keep promises? Amen? How many of y'all in here, just show of hands, know some people who don't keep promises? How many of you in here are sitting beside someone? I'm playing. Make Christmas real awkward. The point is, we live in a world where lots of people don't keep promises, but what you need to understand is in a culture, in a fallen world where people don't keep promises, guess what? God always keeps his promises. And Christmas is a reminder of that. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman. Here's what this means, okay? Somewhere along the line, what we all desperately need to understand, beloved, is this. the birth of Jesus Christ was not just some random unplanned event that God decided to do like the night before. You have to understand, listen, the birth of Jesus actually fulfilled centuries of prophecies and promises. Centuries. Every single promise that God made in the Old Testament concerning the Messiah is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Born of a virgin, born in the little town of Bethlehem, betrayed for not 29, not 31, but 30 pieces of silver, nailed to a cross, risen from the grave, and on and on and on it goes. Every single one of these prophecies is fulfilled in Jesus. And again, listen, this is really good news. The fact that God keeps his promises is really good news because what it means is our God is faithful to his word. Our God is always faithful in what he says. Or another way to say it will be this. Another way to say it will be this. You can trust what the Bible says. You can bank your life on this book. You can trust what God says in this word. And by the way, as a pastor, I feel like Christmas Eve is a very important time to talk about that. Because let's just be honest. Let's not pretend. Let's be honest. The fact is, there's a lot of people in this room right now. This is the only night you come to church. This is the only night. It's this and Easter, and that's it. Which is why before you leave, we're signing you up for all kinds of classes out in the lobby, man. It's going to be awesome. We're going to call you every day. I'm playing. But if this is the only night in a year, in Easter maybe, that you come to church, odds are you don't spend a lot of time reading this book. You're not listening to this book being taught, being preached, being unpacked, And I'm just telling you as a guy that maybe you don't know from anybody, can I just tell you, you really, really, really need to invest your entire life in understanding what God has said to you in this book, because the reality is you can trust what God says here. He is faithful to his promises. He is faithful to his word, and Christmas is a reminder of that. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, it's a fulfillment of a promise. And then finally, notice that Paul tells us right here, lastly, number three, he tells us that Jesus came to this dark world so that we could be adopted as children of God. Is that not amazing? So that you could be adopted into the family of God. You know what that means? Think about what that means. In other words, you ever thought about it this way? What that means is that Christmas is not only about Jesus' birth, but in fact, Christmas is also about our rebirth. It's not only about Jesus' birth, it's also about our rebirth. By the way, we just sang it. I don't know if you caught it. I caught it in the back where we were singing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Did you catch that one line in there where it says this? It says, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. That is why Jesus came. That is why Jesus was born as a baby and then grew up and then lived a perfect life that we could never live, and a perfect life of obedience to God the Father. And then he willingly laid down his precious, perfect life on a cross for our sins. That's why he did it all, so that we could be saved by the mercy and grace of Jesus. We could be adopted into the family of God. Here's what I hope you're understanding. You know what Christmas is really all about? It is about the moment in history when God demonstrated his great love for you. It is the true story of God's indescribable love for you. Have you ever thought about Christmas that way? Oftentimes what we do is we only think about the baby. We only think about the baby, and we should think about the baby. But you have to understand, the baby came for a reason. And the reason God sent Jesus to become a baby, the reason that incarnation thing happened, is because God was putting on display his love for you. Think about it, man. Why in the world would God give us a gift so precious as Jesus? Why would God do that? And the answer is, remember? It's because when you love someone, you're willing to do incredibly sacrificial things for them. Jesus Christ is the proof of God's love for you. Christmas is the true story of God's indescribable love for you. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray now. It's the shortest sermon I've ever given in my life. You're welcome. It's Merry Christmas. It's my Christmas gift to the church. I'm going to pray. And after I pray, I'm going to light this candle. And then when I light this candle, I'm going to light this candle from the Christ candle. And I want you to get the symbolism of this. I'm going to light this candle from the Christ candle, which was lit tonight in Advent. And then that this light is going to continue to spread just all throughout this room. And it's a reminder to all of us. I want you to get this as we sing, as we worship, and as this light is traveling around this room, it's a reminder to all of us that, listen, God loves us so much that when the fullness of time had come, he kept his promise to us. And he sent us the light of the world, Jesus Christ, so that whosoever would trust in him, believe in him, confess him as Lord, whosoever would do that would never again walk in darkness, but instead would always have the light of life. Merry Christmas, family.
Merry Christmas.
It is all about Jesus. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for giving us a book called the Bible, so that we could have certainty, we could know who you are, what you've done, what you want, what you've said, where you're taking us, where you're leading us, what you've required of us, and all you've accomplished. Thank you, Lord, for that. Would we truly, truly, truly tonight and tomorrow remember, reflect on the true meaning of Christmas? And even tonight, Lord, as we hear the coos and the cries and the giggles of these babies, would we be reminded of that amazing moment when you sent us your son, born of a woman, under the law to redeem those of us who were under the law, to redeem those of us who desperately need redemption. Thank you, Jesus, we love you. We worship you. It's all about you. And tonight we acknowledge that. We pray all of it through your matchless name. Amen.